You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It is myself, Mo Mercy, alongside me as always, the three-time NBA champion, Mr. BJ Armstrong. BJ, it's a Friday. How you feeling?
Oh, only terrific. Only terrific. Another beautiful day, a beautiful week, and we're getting closer and closer, Mo, to the playoffs. So I'm excited, but I'm sure you have a lot to say today.
I have a few things to say. You know, first of all, I'd like to just let everyone know that this is the real, authentic Mo Mercy and BJ Armstrong. Not a replica, not an AI generation. This is every episode live in the flesh, because I've been thinking a lot about AI recently. And the first thing I think about is, it disgusts me that AI is now known as artificial intelligence and not Allen Iverson, first and foremost. Because my whole life, when I talk about AI, there's only one person we're talking about. But now everyone's talking about computers and stuff. But I saw an interesting interview yesterday where Daryl Morey, the general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers, was talking about how he uses artificial intelligence to make decisions when it comes to running his teams. I'm just going to give you some facts. The Philadelphia 76ers are 12th in the Eastern Conference with 22 wins and 43 losses. They're 2-8 over the last 10 games. They just gave an extension to a player who's only played 19 games this season. They also signed a max contract to a player in free agency whose former team didn't want to re-sign him, who's now gone on to have possibly the worst season of his career since 2012. So, Mr. Daryl Morey, if you are allowing artificial intelligence to make your decisions for you, I suggest you look for some intelligence in the decision-making process, because this is getting ridiculous. If you're telling me that either you make bad decisions as a general manager, or you're just now blaming it on the computers, I think it's pretty ridiculous. Now, obviously, I know he's not just typing in to ChatGPT, should I sign this player? But come on, man. At some point, we need to have basketball people making basketball decisions, not guys with computers using algorithms to make decisions on basketball teams, because clearly it's not working. And I just found that pretty interesting, because then I saw a report that the Philadelphia 76ers are going to try and trade Paul George this summer. I don't know how often you see this, BJ, where teams sign a max free agent and within less than one season, they're trying to put him on a trade block. Have you seen this many times before?
I mean, you know, again, I'm sure it's happened. I can't think of anyone right.
It's very rare.
I'm sure.
It's very rare, right? It's very rare that a front office will admit to making a mistake of this magnitude and then feel comfortable in their job security enough to openly have a report talking about they're gonna trade him. Paul George averaging 16 points, 5 rebounds and 4 assists while shooting 43% from the field and 36% from behind the arc and 81% from the free throw line. And the Sixers have had an absolutely horrible season. The Sixers fans were expecting a run at a championship. You know, they thought Paul George coming in to replace Tobias Harris was the missing piece. But these times, Tobias Harris went to the Pistons and got them up to the 7 games above 500 in the 6th seed. Meanwhile, the Sixers are, what now, 11 games below, more than 11 games, 20 games, 21 games below 500. Do you see any teams wanting to trade for Paul George this summer?
I'm sure there will be. I'm sure there will be teams that will not, when I say want to, you know, I don't think it's the priority of the number one option. But I think there will be takers out there for him. I'm sure there's a scenario in which his salary, his structure, what he brings will fit into their, I guess, their philosophy of what they're doing. So, yeah, I can see that happening.
I don't know if a player making $52 million next season, $54 million the season after, and $57 million the season after that, where he will be age 37. I don't know if many teams will be looking for that, especially, as you say, if he's not a first option. That's first option money to be given to a guy who's uploaded more podcast clips than field goals made this season. I don't know if there's going to be a lot of teams who are going to be in the market for that, BJ.
Yeah, there'll be, for sure.
Really? Have you got any
For
examples?
sure, for sure. They'll be a team. You know, look at the models in which we're operating under currently now in sports. There will be a team that will say we want to take in that contract for whatever the reason may be. There will be a team. There'll always be a team. You know, you have a salary cap in which the model was made so that you have an opportunity, at least in theory, to be able to move every contract. Now, the decision comes in on whether or not you want to accept the responsibility of the payment. But that's all it is. So they're just, these are transactions now. Remember, this is, they have a salary structure in which every contract can be moved, some more difficult than others. So yes, there will be a scenario, just like we sat here, and you can take the latest example. They said that about Zach LaVine. Eventually, it happened, and they'll be able to move things around if so desired. But difficult, I agree with that. Will there be a lot of takers? Probably not, but there will be one. I mean, contracts are moved all the time.
Well, in keeping of the theme of idiotic things that I heard yesterday, Patrick Dumont, governor of the Mavericks, did an interview where he said the objective was how do we create a roster for the future when talking about the Luka Doncic trade. Now, I don't understand how trading away a 25-year-old superstar for a 32-year-old who's known for being injured is building for the future. I mean, if he'd come out and said we want to win this season or next season, I could have maybe understood, but saying he wants to build for the future, that confused me. Excuse me. That confused me as well. I'm not sure what future he's talking about unless they believe Max Christie is going to become as good as Luka Doncic. That also confused me. But I wanted to talk about this because it's been going around on the internet for a long time. And it's a theory that some fans have that the Mavericks ownership group, who are rich from owning casinos, they're trying to be so bad on purpose that they get to relocate their franchise to Las Vegas. Now, I understand why that's a fun theory to talk about, but I just wanted to let our listeners know because people ask me about this all the time. Someone even tweeted me yesterday asking if I believe it. I just wanted to speak about that briefly because, in my understanding of things, the Dallas Mavericks are the fourth biggest TV market in the NBA. The league definitely has plans for expansion. Including a franchise in Las Vegas. But the term expansion of the NBA does not pertain to relocation of existing franchises, let alone a franchise in such a big television market. No matter how bad they get, I don't believe that they can even pull that off because in order for a team to relocate, would they not need a majority vote from NBA governors, to relocate a franchise?
Okay, what's the question?
But why do people think that this would happen? Why do people think that the other 29 owners are going to agree to moving a team out of the fourth biggest TV market in the NBA to go to the owner to go to Las Vegas because the owners are having a strop because the Dallas government won't let them create casinos there? And did they think that the Dallas Mavericks are intentionally becoming bad to try and leverage the state government of Dallas to let them move the team, which they wouldn't be able to move anyway? I don't know if you've seen this theory going around.
Well, you know, Mo, I try to guard where I gather my information from. And my first source is not the internet. So I don't know. These are rabbit holes that you love to go.
This is what the
If I
fans have been
want
talking about.
yeah, well, I try to go from a source that is based on facts. And the people that I speak with, I'm not going with a theory. Okay. I happen to have an opportunity to speak with the people in the know. So those theories and, you know, it doesn't faze me. I'm not like, okay, good. Good for them. I'm just sitting on the sideline watching that. However, I've made it my, I don't know, it's part of my who I am. I go right to the source if I want to know something. And rumors aren't part of my it's not part of my
I don't even think it's a root. I just think it's a ridiculous theory.
Yeah,
Like,
okay. Well, if that's what the
first of all, the
theory
owners
is.
of the Mavericks have sold their Vegas casinos. The most of their casinos are operating in the Far East now. And there's no way that you're going to buy an NBA team, tank it, just so that you can move it to Las Vegas. That's just not ever going to happen. And I just get annoyed when people have stupid theories that, have no basis in logic or reality. The NBA is trying to expand, aka add more teams, not relocate current teams, let alone teams in big markets. So, just for any of the fans who believe in these theories, I thought we would have to give them some real insight into.
Do I think the league at some point will consider? I think they've stated that they're going to consider going to Vegas.
Yeah.
But you have a beautiful market in Dallas, terrific city, great fan base. So why not have a team in Vegas and a team in Dallas? That makes sense to me. But, unless there's something else that we're not aware of, which is possible, but that's a great market. It's proven. I mean, you have arguably the most valuable franchise in American sports right there, the Dallas Cowboys. So, yeah, I'm not following that. But, maybe the fan base knows something we don't know, and that's okay. For me not knowing, I don't need to know everything. But what I do understand, if that is the case, surely that is a market that someone would want to enter. So if they did move, I would be first in line to get a new franchise there.
Well, I think LeBron's already trying to be first in line to own the team in Vegas, but
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that works. Everyone. These are things that your generation is a little different. I don't, I
well,
just kind of stay in my lane.
we have a question from Bleed Green in the Discord server. He says, do you consider potential new franchises a good or bad idea for the league? And would any expansion push towards four conferences being considered by the league to encourage less tanking? As for me, a 16/17 franchise conference would just create too many tanks and make the product worse. More conferences seem to improve the business and competition and products in the NFL and NHL. I don't know anything about the NFL and the NHL, but what do you think, BJ? Having more teams, would that make the product worse? Would that make the product better? How would we be looking at it?
The further you get away from the core of anything, right? Food, franchising, expansion, you get away from the core of what its original intentions were or is. If you wanted to improve the quality of the play, you should reduce the teams. Because there are only so many players that can play the game at that level. Okay. So if you just took the teams right now and reduced them from, let's say, 30 teams to 18 teams, the caliber of the play would increase immediately because the talent wouldn't be as diluted as it currently is. There's only so many great players in any given era. In any given time. So if you just wanted to improve the game, reduce the teams. Okay. That's just simple math. However, if you want to increase the economics and the fan base and the popularity of the game, increase the teams, which translates to money. So when you hear me say things, the basketball business and the business of basketball, what you try to do is you try to find that happy median. Because they're not, when I say they, the ownership group, the NBA, the players, the business of this is to have a quality product. And then to have a somewhere in there where it makes business sense for all involved, all the parties involved. That's why you're seeing expansion. That's the growth of the game. Look at the game now, Mo. A quarter of the players are international players. because of this mindset. No one can argue about that. However, what you can say is right now we're kind of in a downswing, right, of what's going on as far as the viewership. How do we know this? Because we have the numbers. We have the numbers. Now we can evaluate that. So how do we increase the game? Well, the game gets better once the playoffs begin. Why? Because we're only highlighting half of the league at that particular moment. It's just simple math. This isn't anything new. This isn't anything that, you know, we got to reinvent the wheel. That's how the game works. So if we want to have a better quality of play, let's just reduce the game, which will increase competition, which will increase the play of the game and place the competitive tension back into the league.
Yeah, I think the argument some people have is like, they say there's so much talent in the league now that you see it, for example, with Quentin Grimes being traded to Philly. And now he's able to put up all these numbers in a situation where he gets more of the ball, so on and so forth. So the theory is that you would create more stars by giving some guys a bigger opportunity on a new team where they can go and be the star.
Well, Mo, we started this out by saying the Philadelphia 76ers. Stars win. I can't allow myself to say numbers translate to being a star.
Yeah, that's why I said the theory.
If you are a star, you have to win. You can't be a star and you don't have any responsibility or accountability for anything other than you got your numbers. That's not how this works. So and I say we, because we all are here, we highlight and make players into stars by saying they put up the numbers. Well, I put up the numbers, so I should get paid like a star. That player gets paid, and then we criticize them when all of a sudden we want them to win because they put up the numbers. That's our fault. And I say our fault because, you know what? I'm an adult, so I'm going to be responsible. I want to pay for something and then meet the expectations. You average 20 points, you can't finish over 500. So, okay, well, he needs help. All right. He gets paid, he doesn't perform, and then all of a sudden, well, we got to trade him. When you accept that responsibility as the one of or the top player that's paid on your team, there comes a responsibility here. That's how this works. Who's willing to accept the responsibility? The money will come. If you win, who's going to argue? If you win, who's going to argue? Nobody. But who wants the responsibility? This is not a debate. This is just what it is. So, okay, Quentin Grimes, I'm just using him as an example, who I happen to think is a really good player. He's putting up numbers. Okay, let's look at the Sixers. Let's look at the Sixers right now. The Sixers are not in the playoffs right now. So are we insinuating now what are we saying? Are we just saying numbers or are we saying winning? What are we saying? You say what you mean and mean what you say. I value winning. Okay. The Sixers can't win right now. So what are we saying? I'm not saying those are bad players. I'm saying the league is really good. There are a lot of good players. What's our value? What's our why? So you got to take some responsibility here. Yeah. I want to pay everybody. But that comes with the price. Now, what price are you willing to pay? Go ahead. The mic is yours. I want to pay you. I want everybody to get paid. If I could pay everybody the max, I would. But what a responsibility are you going to take in this?
Hey, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying what the fans are saying.
Yeah,
I'm just sharing with you, because I know you don't be seeing what the fans are saying.
Yeah.
I'm just sharing with you the theory that the fans have. I'm in agreement with what you're saying. Okay.
I want everybody to get some.
I know that there is so much talent in the NBA that when teams are missing their star players, there are players who fans don't consider stars that are capable of going out and putting up good numbers because there's so much talent. There's so much talent in basketball that even guys who aren't on NBA rosters currently could come into the NBA and put up somewhat decent numbers. There are a lot of good basketball players in this world. But the difference between being able to put up good numbers and being able to carry a team to a win, that's what separates the great players from just good basketball players. And I don't think you could have 10 teams, you could have 50 teams. I don't think that changes the amount of guys that can do that.
For sure it does. For sure it will. For sure it will change.
I'm talking about winning championships, not winning regular season games. The ability to take a team to the promised land in the championship, I don't think having more teams gives you more guys that can do
Re
that.
re okay, remember, Mo, there are narratives and then there's the truth. No one player can do it alone. That's what the
No,
great
of
players,
course.
yes. There's no one that can do it alone. There's no one that can carry. We say these things, but truthfully, every player that's ever played at the elite level knows that that's not true. But we say it, but it's not true. The greatest players to ever play all know that's not true. No player has ever won alone. No player has ever
No,
carried. Now,
that's not what I'm saying.
okay, what are you saying?
The players that can be the best player on a championship team, we know there's only a small handful of them at any one time in the NBA. When you look through every championship won in NBA history, the vast majority of them, with the exception of maybe the 2004 Detroit Pistons, the vast majority of them have been led by a quote unquote best player in the league at the time, or one of the top five players in the league. That is a prerequisite to winning a championship in the NBA. Would you agree with that? You have to have a Tim Duncan, a Kobe Bryant, a Shaquille O'Neal, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird on your team to compete for a championship.
Well, there have been. Oh, I'm a little older than you, so I've seen, the original Bad Boys, for instance. The original Bad Boys. You could argue that they didn't have a top five player on their team, but they were certainly the best team in the NBA.
Yeah, it depends
Okay.
where you rank Isaiah Thomas in that. But
Yeah,
okay, so we have
you
two
can
teams in the
argue
history of the
the.
NBA that is exceptions.
Okay, hold on. The Washington Wizards. Okay. Well, actually, they were the Washington Bullets. You can go back to the Seattle Supersonics. There are many of teams that you can go back and say and argue that maybe they didn't have a top five player. Okay. You can go back and you can go back in these, there's the Chauncey Billups team.
Yeah, that's the one I mentioned.
Yeah, you can argue that. Okay. There are many of examples throughout the history, okay? However, the main thing that we have to understand is that one, in professional sports, you must have superior leadership at key positions. The one thing that is necessary, there's been a lot of teams that have had phenomenal players and they haven't won. So you can argue both ways on both sides of this. You must have superior leadership. You could argue that the Miami Heat, who took Jokic and them, and they met them in the finals. There are a lot of teams that make it. So there are examples of we know that a team is stronger than any individual player. We know that. We see that. We get that. But at any given moment, would you say, if you, I don't know, I can't remember exactly who's in there, and he's a Hall of Fame player. first ballot, Dirk Nowitzki. When Dirk Nowitzki didn't want it, would you say in that era, could you not argue that maybe he's a top 10 player, but maybe not a top 5 player? Maybe. By all accounts, maybe.
Yeah, he finished sixth in MVP voting that season.
That's what I'm saying. This is the narratives that people say and the irresponsibility of the words in which we utilize. People say things all the time and they're not true. And okay. However, the one thing that I respect is that these are really good teams and they have superior leadership from two of the four positions. Because I think you have to have the players, the coaches, the owners, and the executives. You have to have superior leadership. That's how this works. So when you get into who's the best player, and that's the easiest thing. That's like easy. Well, they have the best player, they should win. That's not true. That's why it's important for the best player to understand you're only the best player if you can incorporate the talent to become the best team. So there has to be a responsibility here. So the Jokic is probably the most impactful player currently in the NBA. But you know what's phenomenal? What's even better than that is the way he incorporates his talent to allow them to be one of the best teams in the NBA. Because he could easily go out there and score 35 and say, "Hey, I need help." And no one would say a word. Shea is another example. Okay. You could argue right now that the Cleveland Cavaliers don't have a top five player right now. You could argue that. Okay. So we see this time and time again. We've seen it happen. The Cleveland Cavaliers could win, and we could have one right now in real time. So when you value a team sport, participate in the team. The easiest thing to do is say, well, this guy's a star. This guy is a. Okay, if that's your narrative, if that is your limited knowledge of the game and that's how you see it, so be it. I'm not here to argue. But when you come here and someone asks me, I have a responsibility to tell you what it really is, whether you agree with it or not. This is what it is. We are participating in a team sport. All right. And if you're participating in a team sport, and if you're going to win, I don't care if you have the best player. It doesn't matter. What matters is who has the best team. So the team trumps the individual, but the easiest thing to do is to tell me this why this person is the greatest and they're clutch and all those things. That's just theater. I don't have time for that because the young people who are participating in the game, what's the one thing that every coach, every parent is the unselfishness that it requires you to be a member of a team. I was at practice yesterday. Guess what we're trying to incorporate? Share the basketball. How
You know what's
about
really,
that?
you know what's really funny? We had a comment on our YouTube channel. Someone commented saying that the NBA is boring for them now. They'd rather hear about BJ's
Yes.
AAU team.
Our kids. We have terrific kids, terrific parents. But you know what? We're trying to incorporate share the basketball, do all of the things to be a phenomenal teammate. And all the other things will take care of itself. It doesn't matter who scores the most points. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. Just share the basketball. Do the things that a team does. Help one another. If someone falls down, go help your teammate up. Encourage the people who are on the floor, vice versa. When you're off the game, cheer for your team. These are the things that make us special team. All this other stuff. Now, I get what sells and I get what people want to say, and that's fun to say, and you know something more than the other. But every great player understands the value of a good teammate. It's fundamental. Now, no one talks about it. But if you talk to all the great players, they know the meaning of a role player. The role player has been devalued. We don't talk about it. We don't share, we talk about, oh man, this guy comes off picks better than anyone. da da da. Somebody's passing him the ball. Someone's
Someone's
screening
setting the
for
pick.
him. Somebody. Okay, but we don't talk about that. We only talk about the person who makes the basket. Okay, but privately, let me tell you, all those people who are scoring the baskets, hey man, I didn't say I probably, I can't do it without such and such and such and such. But then that's not what the hero would say in today's narratives. You ask me, people say, well, everyone's more skilled, more here. Okay, Mo, I could argue that, I tell you this all the time in private. If I'm playing on a team where I got guys averaging 30 points a game, why am I in the gym in the summer practicing my 3-point shot? Mo, the numbers support that I was a pretty good shooter. But I never went to the gym in the summer and to say, hey, let me get up 5,000 shots in the summer. For what? I got a guy who's averaging 30 points on 55% shooting. Let me figure out another way to contribute. And if he needs me to shoot a game or two, all right, I'll be ready. But there are other things that we're going to need to do to win the game. Because I think he's got that shooting thing covered. So if you are participating in a team sport, play your position. Play your role. I wish sometime we could just highlight the role players. Like Al Horford the other night. That was a masterclass on the value of a role player. That's a masterclass. He could be in the Hall of Fame just being a role player. But why don't we talk about that? Here's a guy in his late 30s. He's figured out how to contribute to a game, and he's not the first, second, or third option on the team. You could argue he's not even the fourth option. You could argue he's not even the fifth option. But he continues to be a key contributor to their success. Now, that to me is genius level stuff.
Would you like an update? Speaking about this, would you like an update on my experiment? Remember, I told
Okay,
you at the
go
start
ahead.
of the week I'm doing an experiment. So this week I made a video about Isaiah Stewart and breaking down his defense and just how great of a defender he is.
Okay.
I also made a video about LeBron James and Stephen A. Smith having an argument. Guess which one got double the views of the other one?
I have no idea. I mean, I don't
You
follow it.
know the answer. Ain't no one wanted to hear about how good of a defender Isaiah Stewart is, but everyone wanted to hear about LeBron James and Stephen A. Smith having an argument next to the court. So,
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, controversy sells. The platforms in which they operate under, yada 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 yada. Okay. But what value does that bring the game?
exactly. Exactly.
What does that do for, again, there's an entertainment part of this business. What value does that bring and contribute to the quality of the game and the experience you're having as an NBA fan? Nothing. So, okay, you have impressions or whatever. Okay, that's great. But what does that say about us when we have to talk about everything that happens off the court? Let's talk about what's going on the court. Well, it's not much going on there. But did you see this? That's what you're like. When you turned on a superstar, okay, when you talk about a superstar, they heighten the experience of the game. Remember, if you are a true superstar, you have to be able to hold the spotlight on you and function and operate. Not everyone can stand under that spotlight, Mo, and hold the attention of the audience. Our audience now says, okay, I looked at this. This is what the audience has done. I'm looking, I go, well, I don't see anything over there. I'm going to go watch something else. That's what they're saying. Let's tell it what it is. The audience looks at the game, they turn on the television, All-Star Weekend, they looked and they said, well, there's nothing over there I want. And they turned the
Yeah, I'm trying to
channel.
see Kevin Hart.
And they moved on. If we have all these stars, like we said we do, and you have options in the entertainment industry, the world has the world. I live out here in Hollywood. There are a lot of choices that can be made for the entertainment dollar. And the brightest of the brightest stars will hold the attention of the audience. Okay. So let's call it like it is. Right now, we're not holding the attention of the audience. Well, such and such is getting his stats. They're the most skilled. Okay, that's fine. The numbers are in. Here it is. Here's the competition. There are the numbers. There used to be a time where game was on and hey, it was
The world
must
would
see
watch.
TV. That was a must see. Now, change. But everyone keeps giving me these false narratives. The narratives, I'm just getting to the facts. We want to see competition. That's what it is. So, all right. Such and such is the most skilled. Such and such is the most this. Such and such is such, whatever these. I'm not participating in that. And I don't need to knock someone else down to, no. We want to improve the quality of the play of the game so that the league is in a position to where it says we have a great product and we can compete with anyone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, hopefully that happens when the playoffs arrive in just a month's time. We'll be back on Tuesday, but don't worry, there will be an episode on Monday. I sat down with the director of the documentary Celtic City, which is live on HBO Max for you guys over in the States. For you guys in the UK who have all been asking me about where you can watch this, I have been pleading with the executives at HBO to get a UK release so that you guys can see this. And it's actually pretty interesting. During the interview, we got confirmation that there may just be a UK rollout. So have a listen to that on Monday. We talk about, even if you're not a Celtics fan, it's a pretty interesting conversation to have. You can check that out on Monday. And then BJI and Scott will be back on Tuesday to keep this show rolling. So subscribe to the Hoop Genius podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. BJ, you guys got a game this weekend?
No, we do not.
Oh.
We finished the regular season last week, and we were one of the teams that received a bye this week. The playoffs start this week, and we'll be
Oh.
following the next week. So,
Okay.
our kids, they've been great in the regular season. The parents have been terrific, and now our young people are off, Mo, and I'm a little concerned. I feel as the coach
They're
on a
not NBA
team,
players. They ain't going to be in the club.
but you know what, Mo? I
Ain't going to be in Cabo
they're
this weekend. Don't worry.
it's like you have time off and you don't play. So I'm like, you
You
know,
should have a
it's
scrimmage. Maybe you should set up a little scrimmage or something.
yeah, you know, it's not that easy, you know, because you got family time, you know, you'll learn about that later, you know,
Nah,
you
I'm
just,
good.
yeah, exactly. So that's hard to do to just stop family time. You know, it's not like the kids can drive themselves to, you know, back and forth.
Well, anyway, I hope
So
you have a great weekend. I hope you
yeah.
have a great
Oh
weekend.
yeah. It's going to be great. So I'm going to go and scout some, some games to see who wins the game. So we'll find out, you know, who we play next week. So
Okay, well,
it'll be
we're
good.
all rooting for you. We're all rooting for you.
Oh, man,
So
we appreciate it. We
just
need
know.
we need that. We need that. We don't want to, you know, we want to stay humble over here. So but good. You know, well, thanks, Mo, this week. It's been great.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll be back
And
next
don't
week.
forget, March Madness is right around the corner
Oh,
here.
I actually completely forgot about that. I
Yes.
completely. Do what? Cooper Flagg got injured yesterday, huh? I've
Yes,
seen
he
him going
did.
off in a wheelchair. That's a shame.
Yeah,
Hopefully, he's back soon.
absolutely.
But yeah, we'll be locked in with March Madness, and let's see how it all unfolds. I hope everyone listening to this has a great weekend as well. And until next time, get buckets.